Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here, and I haven't been here for a while. It's been actually, I think, over 2 years. And I think some of that had to do with something called COVID, but we don't remember what that is. But it's just a privilege for me to be here. I want to bring greetings to you from our EMCC national team. We have about 18 people on our national team across Canada, as well as our president, John Cressman. And I want to thank you for your participation in what we're trying to do together, to be on mission and following Jesus and connecting to others. I noted that you're praying for the Peter and Haley. Of course, the other Zion in Alberta, Zion Didsbury, just has sent five people into Romania, and they are helping build the roof of the church that Peter and Haley are participating in right now. So, you know, the Zions are together, and you're praying, and certainly they're praying there today to do. I actually come from Didsbury, so I'm well familiar with that. We want to encourage you together that we're following Jesus together. I work as a regional minister in Western Canada, and actually my role has changed since the beginning of the year. We've had some transition in staff, and we have usually had four regional ministers, two in our eastern region in Ontario and beyond, and then two in Western Canada. And starting the beginning of this year, we've had transitions, and right now we have nine regional ministers. Only three of those are full-time though. And so I'm one of those, and I'm kind of leading that team right now to try and keep us going the same direction as we do that. So I do work in Alberta, and then we have regional ministers across the rest of the country working there as well. And my role actually is just to work with pastors and church leaders and congregations. We're together on the mission that God is calling us to. So you can go to the next slide. We're part of the same family, and this is my family actually. If you look at it, I have three adult kids. Over on your left is our oldest son, Kyle. And then right next to Kyle is our daughter, Jennifer, who's married to James. And so Kyle lives in Airdrie. James and Jen live in Calgary. That's my wife, Diana, in the middle, and myself. And then next to me is our daughter-in-law, Sarah, who's married to our youngest son, Nathan. And so we're just privileged to have a family. We're going to get together just as families do. We have a birthday coming up for one of our kids, and we get together and we celebrate those things. We celebrate things as the family of God as well, and we're together in this family. In fact, this last April, we gathered in Ontario as a Canadian family to have what we call our General Assembly. And the focus of this assembly was, actually you can go to the next slide. We have been working on four focus points. This kind of looks like compass points, right? So four focus points for these last 2 years, and then going into the next 2 years. And these focus points have to do with, first of all, this year we were focusing on Christ-like character. And we're continuing to do that through this year, focusing on character development. I don't know if you noticed through the past few years, even coming through COVID, whether our country needs some character development, and even in the church, we might need some character development. Maybe not Zion, New Sarepta, but obviously there's been some challenge and disruption, and we just thought it's so important to focus on those things, to be future ready. What does it look like? We're actually in transition in our whole society, both in Canada and globally. What does it mean to be ready for what God has for us in this culture, in this context, to reach people and serve them? To be multiplication-minded, making disciples who make disciples, and developing leaders to help develop leaders to be leaders, as well as multiplying churches and disciple-making communities in our midst. So, and then to be actively engaged on the mission in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our regions, and around the world. Now, as an EMCC, we have probably 120 churches across Canada, some very large and some smaller, right? Just some are meeting in homes. And our mission, of course, is just like Jesus gave his disciples, to when you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that's still our focus, to be in our regional focus, in cross-cultural focus, and to the ends of the earth. We, of course, as a denomination, can do more together. You can go to the next slide. We mentioned the Mrazics, but as well we have Dan and Kerry Weens working in South Africa, and actually in some parts of Greater Africa. And I just want to highlight that we as a denomination support these missionaries, and we can do more together in doing that. And of course, appreciate what Dan and Kerry are involved with in developing Farming God's Way and teaching godlike principles to raise up people from poverty in Africa, as well as being able to share the message of Jesus. So just remember the Weens as well. Well, you can go to the next slide. I want to talk again. Usually as I come here, if you've heard me, and you're going to say something like that, oh, no, not that again. But maybe you haven't remembered. But as a denomination and as a group of churches, we want to be focusing on what Jesus was focused on, and that's making disciples. And so as a denomination, we have developed something that we call the Way of Jesus, and it's not that everybody necessarily follows this in the same way, but this Way of Jesus are statements that help guide us in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and then how to live that out as well. So I'm not going to talk about all these statements today, but I just want to remind us again, this is what we're about together as followers of Jesus. So actually, I think you can read that. Maybe you can read that. Let's just say these seven statements together. You can read with me. I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. I am learning to love God and love others. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. I am helping someone, and someone's helping me be a reproducing follower of Jesus. And I'm participating in a community of Jesus on mission to the world. And so that's just our way of describing what it means to follow Jesus. There are different ways, and I'm going to be talking about that in a moment, of maybe looking at that. But the reality is we want, as local churches, as a denomination, to see disciples made and reproduced. So we're not just creating disciples, but we're making disciples who will then make disciples. And in reality, there's a serious question for each of our churches. And that might be, where in the ministry of the church are you seeing people start following Jesus and become disciples who are making disciples? Now, it's exciting that a baptism is coming on, that people are publicly saying, I am a follower of Jesus. And that is what we're wanting to be about. Today I want to talk about three dimensions of how Jesus develop disciples in his ministry, how he created a Jesus-shaped way of life. So it connects to these seven statements, but maybe the three things are a little bit easier to remember or understand. First of all, when we look at Jesus' life, we see that he had an up relationship with his Father. That was very important to him, to listen to his Father and trust and obey his Father. He had an inward relationship with his disciples, who he was building that relationship and developing that relationship and helping them to know what it means to follow him. And then he had an out relationship into the community and the world. They were a family on mission. The disciples were on the job training in what it meant to heal the sick and cast out demons and share the good news, repent for the kingdom of God is near. And that's how Jesus was developing these. And if certainly for me, I want to live like Jesus for Jesus and be empowered by the Spirit of Jesus. So as we look, we can look at this is maybe a three-dimensional life of Jesus. Now, we have some music stands up there, and if you notice, they have three legs. If you chopped off one of those legs of this music stand, it wouldn't be very useful. It would just lean over, and I'd have to hold this in my hands or whatever. But Jesus had all these three dimensions in his life. I sometimes think I don't have all these dimensions, at least up to the place that I think I need to. I'm always growing in these things. Actually, a few weeks ago, I was driving with my wife home from Calgary. So we're driving north on the number 2 highway about midnight. And in a moment, in a flash, there seemed to be like this one-dimensional image in front of the car. It looked like a deer. It was a deer. It was three-dimensional. The car didn't make it. We're okay. But the reality, I'm sure many of you here today maybe have had an experience like that. This is actually my first time of hitting a deer. I've not had that experience, so it was kind of crazy. I know in my own life, sometimes I look at things and live out ways in my life just one-dimensionally. I can be quite an introvert. I don't mind being at home. Maybe I just want to take out my Bible and read it, and that's just good enough for me. But I know that Jesus has called us to more than just that. And I want to live that out in front of my family, in front of my neighbors, with my teammates, with all those around me. And it's a growing thing for me. I don't have it all together. And as we also have faced different challenges in my life, all of us have challenges. Sometimes when challenges come into our lives, whether we hit a deer or we have health issues or there's family issues that are coming on, sometimes this three-dimensional life of Jesus can get challenged. I know that in my own life. And as well, each of us might have some of those experiences. It can be, even in the local church, that as we're striving to make disciples who make disciples, that maybe we're focused on a couple things, but we don't have it all together. So I want to let you know that the desire is not to have it all together, but to be growing towards this in our lives. Being a disciple and being a disciple maker just doesn't happen automatically. It's like with kids, isn't it? What if we just maybe had a little input into our kids' lives once a week, maybe for a couple hours on a Sunday? We know that's not going to develop kids. We need to initiate a continual time of developing them, feeding into them, talking about Jesus to them, helping them grow, learn how to walk, learn how to talk, all those kind of things. It takes continual time in our lives to have that happen. So if you have your Bibles, let's just look at, open the Bible, our Bibles to Luke 6, verses 12 to 19. And again, there's a number of places in the gospel specifically that this three-dimensional Jesus-shaped life can be depicted. But here's one, and it really just talks about these three parts of Jesus' life that he exemplified to us. So Luke 6, verse 12. So in these days, he, being Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who he called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today as we look at your word, how you exemplified and modeled what it meant to fully follow you in our lives. And it's not something that we can do without your Spirit's help within us. It's not something that we do on our own. We need one another and we need you. So lead us in this study today, just looking at this passage of Scripture, and help us understand how to apply these three areas in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, we see in this passage, right from the get-go, Jesus went up. He went up to a mountain, and he had a conversation, a prayer time with his Father. And I see that in that way. It's not just a one-way conversation. Jesus was listening in to what the Father wanted to speak into his life. You know, Jesus actually said, I can't do anything by myself. I only do what I see the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's in John 5. So he spent the night in prayer with God, and it was a regular rhythm that he had, as seen throughout the Gospels. He built a relationship with his Father. He listened and he did what his Father was doing. I'm reminded of Moses when they were traveling in the wilderness, and God was fed up with his people. And Moses doesn't want to go anywhere without the Lord in his life and the Lord leading him. You remember that? In Exodus 33, it says, Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He didn't want to go anywhere without God leaning, without God's presence being upon him. And Jesus had this as well. Now, for myself, I do have a regular rhythm, a daily rhythm, that I spend time in prayer and reading Scripture, in seeking to listen to what God might be saying to me through his word. And how I should respond to that. And I've also been trying to grow in times of a little bit more solitude and pausing in my life. I'm not really good at that. I don't like pausing. When I just spend a little bit of time in silence or solitude, I go like, what? My mind's just racing. I don't know. Some people are really good at that. But I'm trying to grow in this, so I have this growing part in this up relationship with the Father. What about us? Do each of us have a daily time that we take with God in our lives, whether it's personal time, it's family time together, devotions, a daily time of prayer, scripture reading, trying to, some people are great in just being out in creation and wanting to have connection with God in that way. For me, I do it more in my office, because when I get outside and start looking at the trees or the mountains or the sky, I just get so distracted. I'm one of those people, right? But finding that place where you can commune with the Father, that uptime with the Father is so important as a part of our lives, as Jesus shared. So we want to have that presence of God in our lives on a continual basis. And then we see in this passage, in verses 13 through 16, that he actually chose among his disciples, so he had more than just 12 disciples, like it really is clear here, that he chose out of the disciples that were following him, 12 to become apostles, which were to go with him, to be sent out on the ministry and to see and be modeled by Jesus into his life. And so Jesus actually in John 13 gave his disciples this command, a new commandment. I give to you, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And so although Jesus modeled this life, he actually had a spiritual family, correct? You remember when Jesus' biological family came one time to him and they were thinking he was crazy and wanted to take him home, but Jesus said, who's my family? These people in this house, they're my spiritual family. They're my family. They're my mother. They're my brother. And so we need also, in the same way, to have a spiritual family among us. So does that include our biological family? Well, certainly it does. But it also includes the church family. It includes times of prayer and sharing together, times of connecting in smaller groups to grow. For myself, over the last several years, I've been involved in what we call the Way of Jesus huddles. And so I gather about 5 or 6 people, and we meet weekly on a regular basis. We seek out the scripture. We seek to hear what God might be saying to us. We pray, encourage, and keep one another accountable. I want to tell you that is so important in my life. And each of us really need that more than just, by the way, there's nothing wrong with meeting on Sunday morning. Don't get me wrong here. Sunday morning is really, really important. But those other times when we meet together and encourage one another to continue on in the faith. So what about us? What's God been doing in our life, and where are we seeing God at work? We talk about sharing praises. That's great to hear. What is God speaking to me about? How does he want me to respond? How am I walking with others? And they're walking with me and helping me to grow to be more like Jesus. Jesus had that in his life. He had his time up with the Father and in with his disciples. And then he went out in the world. Now, this was on-the-job training right here, right? We said they kind of came down to a level place. There was his disciples beyond the apostles that he had just chosen, but his disciples. But people were coming from everywhere, from Judea, from Jerusalem, even Tyre and Sidon. They were coming from everywhere to hear Jesus speak. And not only that, but to be healed and have evil, unclean spirits cast out of them. And sometimes as we read on in Jesus' life, that some of the religious leaders didn't like what Jesus was doing. When he went out and among them. In fact, in Luke 5, verse 30 and 31 and forward, it says, the Pharisees came, and the religious teachers of the law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? That's the New Living Translation. Jesus answered them, Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners and need to repent. So Jesus used this three-dimensional lifestyle to change the world, to have impact on his disciples and to build his kingdom. Now, for me, this third one is one of the biggest challenges. I work in a place where I'm talking to these Christians all the time, like pastors and church leaders. And sometimes I get locked into that, and it's hard for me, even though I have a neighborhood and I'm connecting in that neighborhood. I don't have that connection that I'd like to have. And so for me, this is a challenge, and I need to grow in it. And again, we don't need to be trained or educated as evangelists. God is placing people around us, and he's placed people around me as well, who he wants us to carry the presence of Jesus to and to share good news with. And we need the Spirit's help. He can point us to those he wants us to touch with his love. So what about each of us? Are we living, and I ask myself this as well, a one-dimensional, a two-dimensional, or a three-dimensional Jesus-shaped life? And again, it's not something that we can do on our own. We need the Spirit to come and help us and for others to encourage us. You know what? Some focus on our relationship with God, that up relationship. And then we also have a focus on that in relationship with other believers, but we don't invest significantly to building relationships with those who are not yet part of the family of God. And that's a challenge for me. Others of us may be passionate about our uptime with God, and we really want to connect with those who are outside the kingdom, that we want to reach those out to those who don't know Jesus, but we are less invested in the inward dimension where we need that support and encouragement and help. Still others may be invested inside the church and in serving outside, but are trying to do it on their own without that up relationship with the Father. We need all of these things. And I'm trying with God's help to grow in this three-dimensional life. I want to live up in and out. And living and growing in the way of Jesus is not stagnant. It's always a growth aspect. It's never, it's always challenged to be a challenge to be more like Jesus. So with me, I continue to be with a group of guys that I'm with on a weekly basis. And I'm growing to connect to neighbors. I do a weekly prayer walk around my neighborhood. I connect with Al and Kim and Hutch and Angela and Lonnie and Mel, and try and just be the presence of Jesus into their lives. And of course, taking time to be up with the Father. I'm not perfect at this. I'm still growing. And I guess the question is, let's go to the final slide. There is just some questions for us. How are we living and growing in this? What is God wanting to say, maybe to you today? Where's a place that you need to maybe work on a little bit more? Maybe it's just one of the dimensions that I've said. How will you respond to them, to what God wants you to grow in? Let me just pray with you, and let's ask the Spirit and God to work in us in this growing to be more and more like Jesus. Lord, we need you. This is not something we do on our own strength or power. We need your Spirit alive within us, filling us, helping us to grow. Lord, work into each of our lives. There's maybe something that you're wanting to say to each of us today in a place that you're wanting us to focus. Maybe there's some who's faced some challenges in their life, and it's just drawn them away from you or even the family of God. I pray, Lord, that you would break through those things, that you would heal us, draw us towards you and one another, and help us to reach out to those that you've placed around us. Lord, thank you for Zion EMC here in New Sarepta. I pray that you would continue to build up your church and build up your kingdom and build up your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.